So, Steve, how about hopping in the car for that road trip now? A really, really short road trip, given that gas is so expensive this Labor Day weekend. NPR music producer Stephen Thompson has picked some songs to travel with, none of them over 2 minutes long. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Renee.
How short exactly is this road trip you've planned out?
Well, there's not much summer left, so I put together a 9-minute road trip. That way you can sort of condense all of the soul searching and catharsis that you get out of a road trip. I wanted to condense all of that into a 9-minute experience. So either you can take a very, very short drive, like to the store, and experience this road trip playlist, or you can zoom down the highway, take the first available exit, and arrive at a very nearby destination.
Okay, well, we don't actually have time to take the entire road trip with you on this one, but 5 songs.
Right.
Will be posted on the music section of npr.org. Where do you want to pick this road trip up?
Well, let's assume that we've already pulled out of the driveway, and we'll go into the second song that we've got on the list. I've got a song by the Mountain Goats, a staple of every road trip playlist.
I was driving up from Tampa when the radiator burst. I was 3 sheets to the wind. A civilian saw me first, and then there was the cop, and then the children standing on the corner. Your love is like a cyclone in a swamp, and the weather's getting warmer.
I feel like in an effort to sort of come out of a road trip transformed, it's necessary to do a little bit of wallowing to get that out of your system before it's time to clear your head with some of the other stuff on this playlist, which is a little bit less reflective.
All right, so we can skip ahead. Let's say you're cruising along on your trip. It's like a minute later.
If you've taken a very, very long trip, there's always this eternal stretch of turnpike where you're just, it's flat and it's straight and you're just zoning out and staring out the window. And I think it's really important to have a stretch of a road trip where you're absolutely clearing your head. So you want a song that's really as stupid as possible.
And here's where you're bouncing your head on the ceiling.
Well,
part,
you know,
the stupid part. Is it safe to drive to a song like this?
Well, this is Nuclear War on the Dance Floor by a band called Electric Six. You're not really thinking much at the end of it. And obviously, over the course of a long road trip, you're going to listen to a lot of, like, just stupid, fun, fast music to sort of keep yourself occupied and entertained. This does a lot of work in a minute and 16 seconds. It's a very, very efficient song.
So now I'm guessing we would have gotten off the freeway, and then you've got your song to wrap up the trip.
You want to get a little bit more reflective, and as you approach your destination. And so I've got a song by Nico Case called "Outro with Bees."
How's heart feeling today?
You know, you want to pack in a lot of catharsis, feeling good, feeling bad. Going on a road trip is not just dropping the hammer and turning your mind off. You know, you want to do a little bit of thinking along the way, and in that way, that song is sort of a nice way to wrap up the summer.
NPR music producer Stephen Thompson, and you can test drive all of the songs in Stephen's 9-minute road trip at npr.org's music section.
Renee, the Democrats should have included that old Bob Seger song, "Get Out of Denver." It's a road trip song.
Are you going on a road trip?
Oh, me? Not
this Labor Day weekend?
No. I'll be at home.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just going to go into a little quick road trip, as Stephen suggested, to the store.
Oh, okay. Get that Nico case.
Pile in on all these records. Go into the website to find out what the other two are. We only talked about 3 of them. And then I'm out of here.
Renee, what's the name of this program?
This is Steve Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne, by the way.
And I'm Stevens.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Next week, the singer and guitarist called Rodriguez will make his New York debut. Rodriguez, who performs under that one name, is 66 years old. He was born in Detroit. He is huge in South Africa and Australia. In those countries, he's mentioned in the same breath as The Doors and Neil Young. Rodriguez is nearly unknown in the U.S., but Joel Rose reports that may be about to change.
In 1969, Rodriguez went into the studio with a handful of Motown session musicians to record his debut album, Cold Fact.
Sugar man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane.
One of those Motown veterans was guitarist Dennis Coffey, who's played with everyone from Marvin Gaye to Ringo Starr to George Clinton. He helped produce Cold Fact.
He had a gift for writing these songs and singing, you know, about the conditions that he saw every day in his neighborhood.
Going down a dirty inner city side of the road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high.
A lot of people, including Rodriguez, thought the album would make him a star.
We thought it was going to happen, you know, and everything looked good, but there's no guarantees in music.
The record drew a handful of positive reviews, but Rodriguez apparently didn't help his own cause by performing for an audience full of record industry bigwigs in Los Angeles with his back to them.
I'm not saying I didn't do that stuff, but I'm saying I got my eyes closed, I'm listening to the other musicians. And really, I'm more into the tune.
But not very into the business. The record tanked, so did a follow-up. By 1972, Rodriguez was back in Detroit, where he was born, to parents who moved there from Mexico. Mostly, he worked construction jobs.
Renovation of buildings and residents and things like that. Pretty much hard-working class kind of stuff. Nothing beats reality, you know?
But while Rodriguez was busy dealing with reality in Detroit, his records were actually selling in Australia.
And you claim you got something going, something you call unique, but I've seen your self-pity showing as the tears roll down your cheeks.
In 1979, he got an offer to perform in a real rock club for the first time in his life.
We sold the Regent Theater, a 2,000-seater. Four times we sold it out. And so that was my intro to the Australian part of it.
And when you come back to Detroit and you're working your job, do you even tell people?
Oh, people around me know and musicians know, but that's it.
Rodriguez toured Australia again in 1981, opening for Midnight Oil. But even that experience couldn't prepare him for what came next.
In South Africa, he's almost as big as Elvis.
Steven Siegerman runs a record store in Cape Town. Like a lot of South Africans, he first heard Cold Fact when he was doing his mandatory year of military service. Siegerman's not sure why an album by a Mexican-American singer that vanished without a trace in the U.S. became an underground hit with white South Africans. But he thinks it started with one particular lyric in the song, I Wonder.
I wonder how many times you had sex, and I wonder, do you know who'll be
in apartheid-era South Africa, which was unbelievably conservative. That was rude, but it slipped past the censor board. Then everybody wanted to have it, and it was kind of counter-revolutionary in its own kind of way.
By some accounts, Rodriguez has sold more than 100,000 records in South Africa, a country with fewer than 50 million people, though Siegerman says no one there knew very much about him.
The rumor was that he was dead, that he died in a number of very strange ways. He set himself on fire on stage. He died in prison. Everybody had a story.
Finally, in 1998, Seegerman and a journalist tracked Rodriguez down in Detroit, and they convinced him to play a few shows in South Africa.
The first tour was we did Cape Town, Durban by the Indian Ocean, and we did Johannesburg. The audience was just so young and so just bright faces in front of me.
Johannesburg! Johannesburg!
As he walked out on stage,
Johannesburg!
The roar from 5,000 people literally drove this man backwards. And then he started singing his first song. And the entire audience, I mean every single person, and there was like people from 60 down to 6, sang every word of every song back at him.
I can't get over, like, it's like a parallel world. Like, you go to the Southern Hemisphere and you're playing for 7,000 people, and you go back to Detroit and you're hammering nails.
Oh, that's right, really. And sweat and everything else, yeah. Dust, yeah, it's really true. But I don't mind it. Keeps the blood circulating and stuff.
Rodriguez has since quit his day job. He's been back to tour South Africa and Australia several times each. His daughter even married a South African man and started a family near Cape Town. Rodriguez admits this is not exactly how he imagined his career turning out.
My audience is Afrikaans, and it's kind of interesting. You know, I expected third world disgruntles or something, you know, but it's quite not that.
This month, Cold Fact is finally getting a proper CD release in the U.S. on the independent Light in the Attic label. Its founder, Matt Sullivan, and original producer Dennis Coffey say the songs sound remarkably fresh, considering they're almost 40 years old.
So many things that he talks about in 1969 completely hold true today. You know, the politics, the war.
There's still a lot of social ills that are still present. You know, I think what he was talking about still exists.
Gun sales are soaring, housewives find life boring, divorce the only answer, smoking causes cancer, this system's gonna fall soon to an angry young tune, and that's a concrete cold fact.
The question is whether American audiences are finally ready to hear what Rodriguez tried to tell them nearly four decades ago.
We get a second chance, some of us. And so, yeah, I'm taking this one. And if it proves out, then, you know, we all get vindicated for all of it.
But Rodriguez also knows there are no guarantees in music. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.
And now you hear the music, but the words don't sound too clear. Mama, papa, stop, treasure what you got. Soon you may be caught without it.
We're going to play something for you now from Dookie Treats. That's the newest CD by George Duke. Close your eyes. See where you think you are.
I'm back on the bus. I don't want to hear no fuss. Because I got all the love. What the bus? Is y'all going to fuss at me for?
Well, whatever your particular personal memory might be, we'll just bet it's not set in 2008. This new album from the veteran keyboard player, composer, arranger, and bandleader honors funk.
I'm bringing them.
George Duke joins us now from NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Scott.
You know, this album is so refreshing. It's alt nothing.
Yeah, the essential thing is I had been assaulted by my fans about why don't you do a funk album. And so finally, after years of this, I decided, let me go ahead and do this. But I wanted it to be on a bed of jazz with a lot of jazz and a lot of fresh, spontaneous playing. Because I hear a lot of R&B being done nowadays, and most of it is really old. I mean, it's the original stuff, but not a lot of new artists that are creating new funk or new R&B in the traditional sense. So I just wanted to bring it up to date and have a good time.
Well, let's play a song from Dookie Treats, if we could. The opening track is Everyday Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fungizine, not funk, fungi.
Funky.
Hey, get some money!
Now, you're trying to set the table here?
Yeah, well, I want everybody to know that this record is about fun. You know, of course, there's a balance on the record. There's serious subjects tapped, but at the same time, there's a lot of fun and extemporaneous laughter going on in this record, and I wanted that reflected in the album. I wanted to touch on a subject which I think, everyday people, you know, they're the heroes. They're the real heroes, not the ones you hear about every day in the news on NPR.
I want to ask you about a few more cuts, if we could. Sudan and Are You Ready?
Yeah. Well, Sudan is a tragic situation. I believe artists have a tremendous responsibility to talk about, to sing about, to speak about, to write about the problems that are going on in this world. There's more going on in this world than bling bling, booty calls. There's more to write about than just love songs. And so I decided to approach this as a human tragedy, not a political situation, and talk about it. And I enlisted the help of Jonathan Butler and Tina Marie to help me sing this song. So it's an important and one of the more serious songs on the album. I got something to tell you. It's a crying shame.
Yeah, yeah. Sudan, it's a crying shame. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Politicians squawk while the UN bombs, words in the way. Rape and death are common, malnutrition and some, and torture every day. It's the shame of the world, the rape of baby girls. Here's a war and toil. Is it through water again? Blacks killing blacks, who wins? How is this with a gun by the heart? I don't want
Sudan,
oh,
it's a crying shame. Who's to blame?
Artists, whether classical musicians or pop musicians, have always been the reflection of society and in many ways a healing part of whatever's wrong in society. And I think it's important for us to continue to do that, and I don't see enough of it today.
I think you might be the only person I can think of, without pressing myself too much, who in one lifetime has worked with both Frank Zappa, Miles Davis, and Cannonball Adderley.
Yes, Scott, that's pretty unique, actually, I must admit. But, you know, even in my production career, I've worked with everyone, like you say, from Miles Davis to Barry Manilow, and sometimes on the same day. So I'm the same guy,
oh,
but I wear
God.
Different hats.
I've got to ask. I mean, did you get him confused at one point?
You couldn't confuse Miles Davis and Barry Manilow. But they were both great guys. I mean, great. Yeah. I learned a lot working with Barry.
Could you pick from this album a cut where you think somebody's influence is really apparent, even if just in a personal way to you, and share it with us?
Well, you know, you were talking about the song Are You Ready? That's a big influence. Earth, Wind & Fire was really, and I know all the guys, they're great guys, they were really influential on me in terms of my quote-unquote commercial career, because I thought they found the perfect ingredients to make great music, great lyrics, and still be popular. So Are You Ready is a pretty good tribute to Earth, Wind & Fire, I think.
Yeah.
You write so much music and produce so much music and are involved in so much music and play so much music. Do you ever just listen?
Oh, absolutely. In my iPod, I tell you, it's pretty diverse. Everything from Stravinsky to Sly and the Family Stone. So I do a lot of listening, yeah.
Any new artists you want to tip to us?
You know who I'm really liking right now is a young artist named Lettucey, who's a great singer, and she has yet to be fully tapped in terms of what her talent is all about. She's a great jazz singer. She's a great R&B singer, and I expect great things from her in the future.
You've done literally countless albums.
Mm-hmm.
What's over the horizon? What interests you?
One thing that I want to do is a big band record. That's something that I have not done, and I've done, you know, little bits and pieces of it on other people's records and things like that, but I've never actually done a George Duke big band record. So that's on the horizon. And also, I'd like to do a real strong fusion record. And then there are other things that you know, more ethnically oriented projects where I take my experience and take them to, say, Africa or India and deal with musicians who aren't necessarily the popular musicians of the day, but people in the hills who may not even know what a half note or a quarter note are, they don't know what they are. Yeah. They just make music because they have to.
George, yeah. been delightful to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.
George Duke, his new release, Dookie Treats. He joined us from NPR West, and you can hear more of George Duke's music and find out more about George Duke's music and perhaps the meaning of life if you come to our music website, npr.org/music.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.